The Golden Bird, an excerpt from Woman Watching, Louise de Caroline Lawrence and the Songbirds of Pimlico Bay by Marilyn Simons. The March sun wasn't yet warm enough to slump the snow when the evening grosbeaks descended on Louise's feeding station. She was watching out her kitchen window, as she always did, a cup of strong coffee in hand, her reward after a vigorous bird walk at dawn, a habit of 40 years that she had not yet given up, even on the cusp of 90. The flock of yellow and black birds mobbing her tray of sunflower seeds was the largest she'd seen in years. Suddenly, amidst the throng, a flash of pure gold. Louise lifted her binoculars. Obviously a grosbeak, but solidly yellow, like an oversized canary. The other birds edged the odd one off the tray whenever it tried to snatch a seed, until finally the gilded bird rose like a wisp of pure sunshine and disappeared among the trees. My feeder was half an hour southwest of Louise's, flying as a hungry bird might along the canopy highway of boreal forest between her log house, nestled in the pines on the edge of Pimlico Bay, and my energy-efficient prefab, tucked into the forest just north of Algonquin Park. Evening grosbeak shifted across my wooden feeding tray as if by some prearranged schedule, clearly not women and children first, as it was the males that were snuffling up the sunflower seeds, cracking them open and scooping out the meat with their thick, curling tongues, blackening the snow with shells. The motorcycle gang, I called these birds, gold slashes above the eyes like cool yellow sunglasses, wings glossy as black leather jackets with a startling white blaze. I stood at the sliding glass doors counting, 100 birds at least. Suddenly, they fluttered up, a small explosion, leaving a strange golden bird alone on the tray. I met Louise de Caroline Lawrence in 1980, just a few years before the golden bird landed on both our feeding trays. She was an imposing woman, tall, square-jawed, and high-cheeked with plain features, her hair clipped sensibly short, though still elegant, her clothes finely made and artfully chosen. A handsome, no-nonsense woman with penetrating eyes. I was barely 30, living in the bush with 2 young boys scarcely in school. I had just written my first book. Louise had just published her last, although neither of us knew that then. I had brought my copy of To Whom the Wilderness Speaks to her signing at the library in North Bay. I arrived late, hoping the crowd would have thinned, but the room was still jammed with people pressing to be close to Louise. I held out the book, and she briskly asked my name, as she'd asked almost 100 others before me. Then she signed her own name with a flourish, and flashing me a smile, said, "Taxa Merkit," as I melted silently into the crowd. We met occasionally after that. The few times we were together, we talked birds and writing and how the North Woods inspired us and at the same time threw up its obstacles. In 1989, when she was 95 and I was 40, I wrote a profile of her for Harrowsmith magazine. I moved. She died. But the idea of this woman alone in the woods, watching, stayed with me. What drove her particular brand of curiosity? What fueled her passion for birds, a devotion that never faltered for half a century? What in her background or in her character or in her situation conspired to shape this immigrant woman, isolated in a log cabin in the northern Ontario bush, into one of Canada's first and finest amateur ornithologists and nature writers? I ponder this now as I watch a gang of violet-crowned and broad-billed hummingbirds frantically licking up the nectar from the feeders outside my window in the mountains of central Mexico. Idly, I wonder what feeding schedule these birds are on. How much do they drink each time they visit? If I were Louise, I'd get out my stopwatch and note the timing and length of each visit. I'd set up a live trap and band the flitting birds to determine if one particular hummingbird visited many times or if a shimmer of colibri were feeding outside my window. But I am not Louise. I lack the patience for scientific study. Besides, it is Louise, not hummingbirds, I have in my sights. She is gone, but still I watch her. Through her vast correspondences, her speeches, her books and articles, her drawings and photographs, the birds and nests she salvaged for museums, the neatly typed records sequestered in archives across the continent. A life history is what I'm after, not of a species, of a watcher named Louise.